Acts chapter 9 records for us what is perhaps one of the greatest events in the history of the New Testament church. After the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, and all the remarkable events that are recorded for us there, when the gospel went out into the various regions of the then known world, there was persecution, but there was also then multiplication. Churches were being established. Men and women were being changed and transformed by the power of the gospel. The work of God was going forward in a way it had never known before. Yet for the Church of Jesus Christ at that time, there was one person who stood out as a constant thorn in the flesh. And that, of course, was Saul. Saul hated the gospel. Saul was very hostile to the gospel. And he did everything he could to seek to stop and halt and hinder the advancing of the gospel. As we read in verse number 1 and of this chapter, he was still at his evil work. Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. It was still his intention, even right at the very start of this chapter, that he was going to go, he was going to persecute the Christians, the believers at Damascus. And so he goes armed with these letters from the Jewish leaders in order to stop the preaching of the gospel. And yet that day, that great persecutor of the church had his life changed. His life entirely altered. Because that day he met the Savior whom he had hated for all of his life. That day the gospel of saving grace that he had sought to stop and sought to hinder changed and transformed his life. The persecutor that day became the preacher. As he was converted on the day or on the road to Damascus. It was a different day. A very special day. And even before we get into this message tonight, what a wonderful thing it would be if perhaps some young person in this meeting, and you're here and you would say, I'm not hostile or I don't hate the gospel like Saul did, but yet you're not saved. And by the very act of your rebellion, your rejection of the gospel, you are showing your hatred to the things of God. And you're saying to the Lord, I don't want anything to do with the gospel. But what a wonderful thing it would be that even this night, your life were to be changed and transformed. That you would be saved. And your life would be turned around. You've come into this youth rally this evening. Unsaved, unprepared, unready, and yet tonight, through the example that we see in the life of the Apostle Paul, your life can be changed. I wonder even tonight, would someone give their heart and life to Jesus Christ in salvation? That you would experience this change that Saul experienced. It was a day he was never going to forget. And as you read through the various letters and the epistles that he wrote to the various churches and to the various people, you'll see that he often refers back to this day, the day of his conversion. But there is an aspect here to the account of his conversion, as we find it here in Acts 9 verse number 6, that I want us to consider very simply for a short time tonight as we bring this youth rally to a conclusion. Because in verse number 6 he asks himself, or he's asked the Lord, a very important question. And he, that is Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? Here was a man who in an instant, His life was changed. In a moment he was transformed, and that very same time he realized there was something he had to do for the Lord. You're here tonight and you're saved. We thank God for that. You're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can look back to a time in your life when you asked Him into your heart. Your life was changed, turned around. But I wonder if you ever asked the Lord this question of your life. Lord, what will Thou have me to do? Because, young people, we're saved to serve the Lord. We're saved to do something for the Lord. We're saved to make our lives count for the Lord. I'm sure you have plans and ambitions, desires for your life, where you'd want to go, what you'd want to do. Those things are important. That's important to have those plans. But never allow those things to overshadow what you can do and must do for the Lord. Because remember, at the end of the day, it's only what's done for Jesus will last. As you stand before the Lord in that great day of judgment, you'll not give an account of all the jobs that you did, the cars that you drove, the money you were able to earn, the positions you're able to attain in society. You'll not give an account of any of those things. You'll give an account of what you've done with the Lord. And here was a man realizing, I need to do something for the Lord. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Four very simple things I want us to notice from these words in verse number 6. First of all, there was a recognizing. A recognizing. Immediately he's converted, and Saul recognizes that he has a work to do for the Lord. Now, of course, he could never have imagined what that work was going to be. He had no idea when he asked the Lord that question of what he was going to be doing for the Lord. He had no idea of the missionary journeys that the Lord was going to take him on. He was going to have no idea of the churches that he was going to see established, the souls that he would see reached and won for the gospel. Saul, at this point in his life, had no idea what his service for the Lord would entail, but he recognized he had something to do for the Lord. In verse 4 and 5, we see how the Lord speaks to him, the Lord confirming to him, the Lord identifying himself to him, the Lord revealing himself to Saul. And in that word, Lord, then in verse number 6, he realizes and he recognizes the Lord is the master of my life. The Lord has saved me, and the Lord has purchased me. The Lord has bought me with His own blood. He realizes all that. He realizes I belong to the Lord. You see, in salvation, the Lord's our master. He's not some sort of harsh dictator, no, not at all. But He is our Master. He is our Lord. And folks, young people, if I'm honest tonight, that's one of the great problems in modern Christianity. We want to be saved. We want to have some connection with religion and Christianity. But we don't want to have the Lord as Master of our life. We still want to live our lives our own way. We still want to do our own thing. We don't want to give our lives entirely over to the Lord, because that might mean we'll do something that we don't really want to do. And so we hold back from giving our lives entirely to the Lord. But here was Saul recognizing, I belong to the Lord. And he wrote to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 19, he says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have, and ye are not your own?" Young people tonight, with all your life ahead of you, in the will and plan of God, do you recognize that your life is not yours? To live as you want it, to live as you see fit. Do you recognize that your life must be that life of surrender, that life of service to Him? Saul at this stage recognized, the Lord's the master of my life, and there's something I need to do for Him. There's a recognizing here, but there's also then, secondly, there's a requesting. A requesting. Having recognized that he had a work to do, then he requests, he seeks of the Lord, "Well, what is that work? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do?" Do you know what he's saying there? He's saying, "Lord, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do?" He acknowledges that God has a will for his life. He acknowledges that he must do something for the Lord. And so he asks the Lord, he requests of the Lord, "Lord, show me your will." Young person, you're saved tonight. The Lord has a will for your life. He has. He's a plan, he's a particular purpose for your life. But don't think that the will of God, that's just for those who are going to go to the mission field, those who are going to go to the ministry, those who are going to serve the Lord full time. The Lord has a plan for your life, young person. That's so important, that you seek out the will of God for your life. It's so important that you search out, "What is it, Lord, that you want me to do?" You ever said to the Lord, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It's so easy just to go through life and things fall into place. You get your education and then you move on to a career and you move on to a job and things just fall into place. But are you sure tonight, young person, you're in the will of God for your life, in the place where you are right now? Are you sure tonight that you are where God wants you to be? For Saul, he knew that this wasn't where the Lord wanted him to be. There is no other place, young person, no other place you should want to be than right in the center of the will of God for your life. There's no safer place. There's no better place. Now that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that everything's just going to pan out. Everything's going to be a bed of roses in the will of God for your life. It won't. It'll be hard times. Difficult. But the will of God for your life is the best place that you could ever be in. Therefore tonight I ask you again, are you in the will of God? Have you searched out the will of God? Have you asked the Lord, "Lord, what is it that you want me to do?" Great Keswick Convention speaker G.B. Duncan said that the will of God is not something we are just to understand. It is something that we are to undertake. I say again that God's will is the best place to be in. And God has a plan for your life, young person. God has a purpose for your life. Therefore, seek it out. How do you know the will of God? Well, that's a whole subject and sermon all of itself. But I'm sure you've heard the illustration given by F.B. Meyer, the gospel preacher. He spoke about three different aspects about knowing the will of God. He talked about the three lights. Three lights on the wall of the harbour that shone brightly at night to guide the ships in safely into harbour. And the shipmaster knew that when he was at the point and those three lights were all connected, and when he looked straight ahead of him, all he saw was not three lights but one light, he knew it was safe to go. He was at the mouth of the harbour, it was safe for him to go forward. And F.B. Meyer used that illustration and used it in relation to the will of God about three different aspects, three B's. He talked first of all about a burden. But having this burden to do something for the Lord that just won't go away. And then having these bearings, God using circumstances to impress that burden all the more. And then thirdly, the Bible, getting the word from God. Not just randomly going through the Bible, but as you systematically read the Bible from day to day, seeking the Lord's will through His Word. And F.B. Meyer used those three B's, a burden, the bearings, and the Bible. He said, when all those things come together, then you are sure you're in the will of God for your life. I wonder if there's someone here tonight. And God has been burdening you. Let me be very specific here. Maybe God has been burdening you for full-time service. To go and train in our college. Not knowing where that will take you. But God has been burdening you. And all of those things just seem to be intensifying all the time, and circumstances seem to be dictating. And then the Bible, getting a word from God. If I had time tonight, I don't, but if I had time tonight, I'd love to tell you of just how the Lord led me to where I am tonight. Because never in 1,000 years did I think I would be a minister of the gospel. Never. I was happy serving the Lord in my own church, home church. Happy doing what I could. And then the Lord started impressing upon me full-time service. It wouldn't go away until eventually I got the word from God. Mark 1:17, come ye after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. All those things just lined up. We had to go. I wonder tonight, is there someone? And the Lord is burdening you, challenging you, speaking to you about full-time service. I was very happy doing what I was doing. As far as work was concerned and business was concerned, it was fine, it was going good. I was happy doing that. But that's not where the Lord wanted me. And maybe there's some young person tonight and you're in your job, you're in your occupation, but that's not where the Lord wants you to be. Search out the will of God for your life. And having searched out the will of God, then do the will of God. There was a recognizing here, there was a requesting here. There was also then a responding. The Lord responded to this request. The Lord answered. The Lord said unto him in verse number 6. The Lord, you see, will show you His perfect will. The Lord will never lead you into confusion. The Lord will never make his will unclear to you. And if it is unclear to you, then it's not the will of God. Keep searching. The Lord revealed to Saul what he was to do. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now notice something. The Lord didn't say to Saul, Saul, you are going to be persecuted for your faith. Saul, you're going to go on missionary journeys around Asia Minor. Saul, you're going to establish churches in so many different places. Saul, you're going to see revival, and if you don't see revival, you're going to have a riot. The Lord told him none of those things. The Lord just said, go. And the rest of the will of God would be revealed to him. You see, the Lord reveals his will to us as we do his will. Don't think tonight that the Lord's just going to reveal everything to you and going to show you the rest of your life. He won't. Seek out the will of God. He'll reveal it to you step by step. Saul was to arise. He was to get up. And he was to go into the city. In other words, he was to get up from the place that he was and to go to another place. I wonder if there's someone this evening, some young person, God saying to you, you leave that place where you are. Go into a place of service for him. The Lord is calling you to lay aside your plans, your ambitions, your future, and follow the will of God in full-time service for him. Because remember, that's what Saul was being called to. He was to arise and go forward. God wanted Saul in another place, in a different place. Maybe there's someone tonight, some young person tonight. The Lord wants you in a different place. The Lord wants you in another place. And if the Lord has been calling you, young person, and you've been searching the will of God and you've been earnest, and the Lord knows that, and the Lord has been calling you to leave somewhere that's comfortable, somewhere that's easy, somewhere where it's straightforward, and calling you to do something that you think is impossible, remember, the Lord will equip you for what he calls you for and what he calls you to. My own personal experience, many, many, many times I said to the Lord, I can't do this. Many times, many days in the ministry, I'm still saying I can't do this. But the Lord will give you the strength. The Lord will give you the help. Maybe the Lord's saying to you tonight, arise and go. Arise and go. As a denomination, we need more Bible students. We need more ministers. I serve on the mission board. We need more missionaries. A few weekends ago, I was out in Kenya. The retirement service for the Patterson family who have retired, finished their service. We're thankful for those that the Lord is calling. But we need more. We need more. Kenya, Uganda, Nepal, wherever you name, it's a wide open field of service for the Lord. Maybe the Lord's calling someone tonight to missionary service. Arise and go. Recognizing here a requesting, a responding, but finally, there is a resigning. There is a resigning, because look at verse 8. And Saul arose. Remember, at this stage he's blind. Can't see a thing. Didn't know where he was going. But he still went. And folks, that's what the life of the Christian is all about. Not living by sight, but living by faith. Don't say to the Lord, I'll go, but I want everything to be mapped out for me. I want to know exactly what I'm doing and where I'm going and what all the future has in store for me. No, that's not how it works. We live a life by faith, trusting God, looking to Him for every step. Here was a man who was resigned to the will of God for his life. Here was a man who was willing to give his life over in submission and surrender to the Lord. He just went. He went in obedience to the call of God. And the Lord then was pleased to direct him and guide him every step of the way. Jim Elliot couldn't wait to get to the mission field. Start of 1956, as a young lad of 28 years of age, along with four other fellow missionaries, after a period of training and instruction, he set off to the jungles of Ecuador. He was going to reach the unreached Aka tribes with the gospel. Oh, they knew the dangers. But they went with a burning passion in their heart to spread the gospel. They knew that's where the Lord wanted them to be. After a few days, there had been no contact from the mission station, the mission base, from these men. Rescue teams were sent out. And they found four of the bodies of those missionaries. Fifth was never found. They were killed at the very hands of the people they went to reach for Christ. Was their life a failure? Did they make a mistake? No. Because one of those missionaries, Jim Elliot, who went at the call of God, he said this: He is no fool who gives to God what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He went at the call of God. It cost him. But he went surrendered, willing to do what the Lord would want him to do. He acknowledged he had a life of service. You see, young people tonight, you never lose by giving to God. You never lose by giving to God. Saul knew that. What a life and ministry Saul had. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, no greater preacher, teacher of the Word of God. Yet it all started when he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What potential there is tonight in this meeting. If every single one of us were to surrender our whole lives to the Lord and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I wonder tonight, are you willing to surrender your life to the Lord? Wonder tonight, are you willing to give your life over entirely to the Lord? And as Noel Grant said, above thine own ambitions here. Another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to leave thy all and follow me. Will you go through with God tonight? Young people, the gospel, the Church of Christ needs ministers, preachers, evangelists. Mission fields are crying out for missionaries. Not everybody's going to be a minister. Not everybody's going to be a missionary. I know that. But are you willing to say, like Isaiah, "Here am I. Send me." Will you give your life over to the Lord tonight? Dedicate your life afresh to Him. And say to the Lord, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?"